Quickly, let's begin today. We'll read a number of scriptures. The most important one I'm going to read for today is Isaiah chapter 53, as we continue our discussion on the subject, the work of Christ. Remember, we have been discussing it. That is, what is it that Jesus came to accomplish? It is important we understand that so that we do not confuse Christianity with just another religion. I said something last time, let me say it again. Only Christ Jesus ever offered to change human beings. There is no other religion on this earth where anybody offers to transform people. What they do is try to teach you a way to find God. They try to teach you a way to overcome or to enter into what they call enlightenment. Only Christ Jesus offers to transform you from inside, all right, outward. That is, he said, if any man is in Christ, he's a totally new creation. That is, God has done something new. He said, all things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. That is what Christianity is. You know, one thing we have to guard against these days is to be careful not to mix up what sounds nice with what is Christian. Almsgiving is good. It's not Christianity. We know that because Cornelius did it, and God said, this won't help you. Are you getting my point? Because he did it, God saw his heart. He had to explain to him that you need to hear the true gospel. So, by the word of that angel that told him that, he sent for Peter, and Peter came and preached Christ unto him. If almsgiving was going to save him, nobody would have gone through that process. Praying is good, but that's not what Christianity is. Cornelius prayed. Christianity is Jesus Christ. Christianity is what God did, all right? Is that what grace is unique to it? It's what God does for you, what God did in Christ Jesus that is manifesting in your life. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is not the way by which you help yourself. No, Christianity is, I can't help myself. Only God can help me, and I allow him to help me. That's what Christianity is. Because we often mix up good works. We often mix up good attempts at good living, all right, with Christianity. Once I heard, I was speaking with a man who's supposed to be the head of a big church in this town, actually. We met somewhere, and we're discussing, and he made a statement. Now, good enough, I did not know who he was before I challenged him. And he said something. He said, any Jew, I don't know whether it's Jew or a person, who keeps the laws of Moses, all right, correctly, is already saved. I said, what did you say? That if you can obey the laws of Moses accurately, you have no problem. I said to him, I don't believe you said that. That's what I told him. I didn't know where to start from. I said, I don't believe you said that. Well, later on, I heard that he was the head of a big church. I said, my God, so what are you telling the people in that congregation? That there are two ways back to God. There is a way of following the laws of Moses and being very strict at it. And if you succeed in doing that, you're fine. And there is another way. I said, no. Hearing is the righteousness of God revealed. Every other form of righteousness is not the righteousness of God. In fact, you must understand this, that Judaism, that's a confusion. You know, anytime I watch TV these days, I get tired of a lot of preachers who speak. They speak as if the most important thing that God ever did on this earth is Judaism. It is not true. They speak as if Israel, that if you don't pray for Israel and support Israel, God is not happy with you. Listen to me, it is not true. Are you getting my point? God loves the Palestinian, all right, as much as he loves the Jew. There is no difference. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. There is no difference. You must understand that. They say that if you don't have if you hate Israel, what do you call it? If you hate Jews, you will not prosper. If you hate Arabs, you also will not prosper. Hatred is not of God. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. Hatred of any form, the only thing you are allowed to hate is sin and the devil. Do you get my point? For God so loved the world, so you must be like your father. You must love Jews, you must love Gentiles, you must love Christians. You know, people say all kinds of things because they think that we are living in those days. You know, we've studied about it before from the book of Hebrews chapter 1. He said God in former times, we said there are different seasons. There is a former times and there is latter days. Latter days, there's only one thing that God has created. Let me put it like this. There's only one way by which God says man can be reconciled to him. And that way is the way of Jesus Christ. If you are a Jew and you deny Jesus, you are an unbeliever. Are you getting my point? I'm not doing God any special favor by gathering and saying, I want to support you against the Arabs. Both of you are unbelievers. Can't Christians understand this thing? Both of you are unbelievers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why the nation of Israel? It was the way by which God brought Jesus into the world. A time came, he opened the veil. He opened the road. That is, he made it clear that I'm no longer staying inside this temple. I have left the temple. I have now gone somewhere else. And Jesus, before that point, explained to that woman in John chapter 4. He said, the time has come for those who worship God, not to worship him in this mountain, all right, or in the temple, all right, or in Jerusalem. He said, they have to worship in spirit and in truth. You are getting my point? I say it all the time to you, and I mean it. You want to go to Israel to go and sightsee, it is good. If that makes you a spiritual person, you smoked. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you believe that thing, it's not true. It doesn't work like that. God has left that space, all right? That geographical location, he is not staying there. He's staying right now in the hearts of those who believe. You know, that is what, you know, I was watching a documentary, you know, and especially when they talk about Christianity, I like to watch it. And they just showed a scene of which people were, you know, they were talking about that conference that I had in the book of Acts, in which Paul and the other elders from Jerusalem, they gathered and they were discussing. And I was the man who was supposed to be Paul was so cool and looking at the rest of them. And they were arguing that what is going on? The commentator was explaining that people were trying to, that the problem was that the Jewish Christians were explaining that Paul was preaching that people did not have to swallow, that they come into Judaism if they want to be Christians. And listen, and the argument was going on. They were dramatizing the scene. I said, this is interesting. And it was difficult for them to understand then also. It was difficult for them to understand that the reign, you know, spiritual reign now, or Judaism had come to an end. Whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, you are both accepted before God as long as you come in through Christ Jesus. One way is no longer superior to the other, that is, Jew or Gentile now. They are both the same once they are outside of Christ. Inside Christ is where people are now important. Inside Christ is where they are now superior. Are you getting my point? People at the point in time, it was, are you part of the Commonwealth of Israel or you are not? But after Jesus Christ, it didn't matter anymore. Are you getting my point? He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the authority to become sons of God, to become children of God. They are welcome in God's family as long as they believe in Christ Jesus. And if they deny him, that's very important. If they offer him to you and you reject him, listen, you are cursed already. That's what he said. Jew or Gentile. One of the things Jesus came to do was to equalize everybody. White, black, yellow, green, purple, orange, whatever be your color. Whatever language it is that you speak, everybody is now the same. They are not separated on one premise. Are you in Christ or you are outside him? Last time I said, I mentioned two things. One, he came to pay. That is literal. It's literal. I'm going to develop that a bit, all right, today. I said we're going to read a number of scriptures, and that's where I'll start from. One, we said he came to pay, and number two, is one person that changes people. He's the only person that came, and you see one of the things, later on we'll talk about it. He came to release this, what the Bible calls the Spirit of Christ, all right, into the earth. What is the Spirit of Christ? It is that nature, that divine nature, that he imparts into anybody that believes, all right? Let's just pick up from that. Now, let's read two scriptures. You cannot please God by any other way. Let's read the first one. We'll read. I want to develop that in a bit, and then we'll go on into some other things. Let me just, when we get there, I'll tell us what I want to get into. The book of Exodus, chapter 29. Let's read that briefly, from verse 38. He said, "Now this is what you shall offer on the altar: 2 1-year-old lambs each day, continuously." Now, notice that word "continuously." Everybody say "continuously." That's Exodus 29, I'm in verse 38. "The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other you shall offer at twilight." And then he explains some things that you must put there. Verse 40, "And there shall be 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour, mixed with 1/4 of a hin of beaten oil, and 1/4 of a hin of wine, for a drink offering with one lamb. He said, the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and shall offer with it the same grain offering and the same drink offering as in the morning, for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. He said, it shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord. Now, please notice this. It shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak with you there. I will meet there with the sons of Israel, and it shall be consecrated by my glory. Please, for time's sake, let me stop reading there. Then if you go down to that Leviticus chapter 17 that we mentioned last time, for time's sake, I won't open to it now. You will read where it says that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given that one to you to make an atonement for your sins. That is, what he was saying is this. Before you can come near unto God, before God can come near to you, there must be an offering, a blood sacrifice. I say it all the time that the mistake we make sometimes in modern day Christianity, when we want to talk about money and people giving offering gifts, you know, which is good. Now, please don't ever misunderstand me. You know, it's very right, all right? The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. It is important that Christians give. It's important that Christians give to those who are in need. It's important that Christians give to the work of God. It's important that Christians give to those who they are supposed to honor. It is important that Christians give to their community. Are you getting my point? If you're in your village, you have a lot of money, it is more pleasing to God that you build a town hall first before that house that you build, that you stay in 6 days in a year. Are you getting my point? Yes, giving is important. But a lot of times when we want to talk about giving, we mix it up with offering, the way the Bible talks about it. Offering in the Bible is beyond giving. When it's applied in the New Testament, there are many things that are called offerings. Are you getting my point? When those people sent money to Paul, he said it was an offering. When they lifted their hands to praise God, it was an offering. Are you getting my point? Now, there are different kinds of things that are offerings. So, the New Testament uses them in different ways, because under the Old Covenant also, there were different kinds of offerings also. But I want you to understand, when the word offering is used, specifically in the Old Testament, all right, especially when it had to do with sin and relating with God, it was always a blood sacrifice. Every time blood had to be shed, otherwise that word offering wouldn't be appropriate when you're talking about sin. There was something that this man said some time ago. I first heard it many years ago. I didn't fully understand it. But now I think I agree with him more. Ben Hinn was speaking years ago. I'm talking about maybe like around, I was still in university, all right? So it's quite a while ago. I heard him speak. He said that when Adam sinned and Eve sinned and God came to the garden, you know, he said, you said you were naked. Who told you? And he asked them those things. You remember the story. Then he now said, he now dressed them up in the, with what? Skin, all right? I think skin of an animal. And Ben Hinn said that those skins must have been wet with blood. Now, whether it was wet or dry is irrelevant now, all right? You see what I picked up from it. That even though God didn't specifically say a sacrifice was offered, that every sin must be covered. When you see the commandments he gave to Moses, the law was that every sin must be atoned for. So when they disobeyed God, it wasn't possible that God would have let them go without making an atonement for that sin. And Ben Hinn said this, and I believe it now. He said that the animal with which skin they were covered was the animal whose blood was shed to cover their sin at that particular point in time. I didn't understand it then. I understand it now. That God never met with people except there was an atonement for their sins. That's why we read it here. In this Exodus chapter 29, it said, it shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. I will meet there with the sons of Israel, and it shall be consecrated by my glory. What was he saying? The place where I'm going to meet, before I meet with people, the blood sacrifice must have been offered. He told them you'll offer it twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. This is what I believe. To cover the sins in the last 12 hours. Are you getting my point? Yes, before God will come, the sin must be covered. There must be an atonement. God does not relate with human beings if there is no blood sacrifice. All right? So what I'm trying to explain is that, so when we often use that one in Christianity, about giving. I was saying something about that. We confuse it. People now say that when you want to come to God, there must be an offering in your hand. And we interpret this, there must be money in your hand. So people can't come to church unless they go and look for money. Listen, you don't have to bring money to church. If you want to give offering to the church, every church now has a bank account. Is that not so? Now, but so you can easily go to that bank and go and deposit money. So, God is not so concerned that by force, when you want to see me, I must see Naira in your hand. No. What is important to God, all right, is a blood sacrifice. That's what I want you to understand. It is that blood sacrifice that makes the difference. It is not that you give God something. It's not that you give God money. He's not trying to spend your money. Money has its role, and we must understand it. But it's not something we give to God so we can approach his presence. No. The only thing that allows us to approach the presence of God is a blood sacrifice. I hope you are following what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Now, when Jesus came, what did John say? Behold, what? The Lamb of God. Very important. Behold the Lamb of God. We are discussing what Jesus came to do. He was the Lamb of God whose blood was shed. Let's read a few scriptures just to emphasize it. Let's read one from the book of Revelations. A lot of times I just talk and talk. Let's just speak a few. Revelations chapter 5. Now, I will rush because of time, please. I'll rush the things I'm reading. I saw in the right hand of him, verse 1, who sat on the throne, a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with 7 seals. Now, please, I will jump to save time. So an angel came proclaiming who is worthy to open the book and all of that. And they looked everywhere. Nobody was found. In verse 4, John began to weep. He said, then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome, so as to open the book and its 7 seals. And I saw between the throne and the elders a lamb standing, as if slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Let me just stop there, please, because of time. He said, you were slain and you purchased for God with your blood. I told you the currency in the realm of the spirit is what? Life. Are you getting my point? And the life of the flesh is in his blood. So when you see the word blood, he's talking about life. Jesus shed his blood, that's the currency. In the realm of the spirit, that's what they spend. To be able to purchase people out of bondage, to be able to purchase people out of their sins, what he did was to shed his blood. Please, I want to emphasize this because my experience in today's Christianity is that we don't preach much about what Jesus did. We preach a lot about what we can do. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I've been observing it. We, from the scriptures, distill principles of branding. How to brand your business. People come to church a whole day, weeks. They are learning how to brand, how to multiply. Now, listen, you must understand what I'm trying to say here. I'm not saying it is wrong to know how to brand. Did I say so? You should know how to brand. But like one of my friends said, it was one day he went to a church. And when they finished, he said to himself, I didn't need to come to church to hear this. I could have heard this in a business school. I want to just add this if you're a preacher, be careful that your church is not a business school in which a Muslim, forget Muslim now, that anybody will just be blessed whether they believe or they don't. In a church If you don't believe, all you are allowed to have is conviction. You shouldn't be blessed. You should be angry. We should let you know that you are confused. We should let you know that no matter how much you succeed, you are going to hell fire. We should let you know that Satan looks for who he might devour, and you are devourable. Have you noticed? The Bible says that he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking what? You should let people know that they are devourable. We make that mistake a lot in today's Christianity. We preach what I can do, how I can stand up and get up and go out and succeed, how I can be motivated. You've heard my story many times. Those is when we're in Cosmo. One title I hated the most was motivational speaker. If you are motivated, good. But I did not come out to motivate you. I came to preach the gospel of Jesus. So we always introduced it. Welcome to the way of success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. I didn't want to be confused. I didn't want anybody to confuse my identity. So I said it clearly. Christ Jesus is the one that saves. Are you getting my point? It's important we don't forget that thing. What saved us, what brought us out of bondage is not the work we did. It is the one that Jesus did. And true Christianity is for you to always magnify what Jesus did. I'm talking to preachers now. Be careful that you don't come to church. Are you getting my point? And your message is amplifying what self can do, what the flesh can do. Get up and go. You can overcome. And you've not told the fellow that there's somebody around seeking whom he might devour. And if he's not careful, after overcoming, he'll get devoured. Success in the life of a Christian is to discover what God can do through him. Is to discover what God can do through her. I said to you last time, let me say it again. Were it not that we understand that life is an assignment, a Christian actually doesn't have to get up in the morning. I'm telling you the truth. You can sleep the whole day, every day. That was the kind of thing Jesus came to accomplish. He said, he that has believed has ceased from his own works. Why do men labor? Let me go over it again. They labor because they are in bondage. Let me take it easy. Let's read the Bible. Quickly open to the book of Genesis. Let us read. Chapter 3, verse 17. Then to Adam God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Why do men labor? Listen, I said this those days when I was preaching the way of success on radio, and I'm saying to you again. Many of the principles you read in business books, listen carefully, listen attentively. They were written for men that are cursed. I said many of the things you learn in motivational books, let me add that one to it now. Many of the principles of success that men gather and get an MBA to learn, they were written for those who are operating under a curse. Do you understand that? There are very few principles that are written out there that the man who believes, a woman who has given her life to Christ and is operating by faith in Christ, can succeed by. Let me just drop a few to let you understand. You know, writing books in America for every successful man is a normal way of life. Once you are... In fact, the man who shot Osama bin Laden wrote a book. You don't know. You should be aware. Why are you when things are happening? The man who shot Osama bin Laden in Abbottabad, in Pakistan, he has written a book. It's a normal thing that Americans do. So, what name of this, I keep forgetting, why do I always forget this guy's name? Donald Trump. So once he made money, he wrote a book, The Art of the Deal. Then when he failed and then came back, he wrote another book, The Art of Comeback. I read The Art of the Deal. I read all those things. I read The Art of the Deal and I said, if you follow this man, you will fail as a Christian. You are guaranteed to fail. Did you hear what I said? You follow him, failure is your portion. Not me, oh. It is because of this book you have read and obeyed. It is not me. That's how God, you get my point. When God said to Adam, curse is the ground because of you, so I'm not cursing you. And because if you obey what that man said, the earth will close up for the Christian. Why? Because one of his principles is you must not forgive. One of his principles is that if your wife gives you a hard time, divorce her, you have to succeed in life. He said he was talking with one fellow one day. He's a golfer. And his wife was complaining. And he just said, look, listen. If the woman won't shape up, divorce her. You have to succeed as a golfer. Are you following what I'm saying? Yet he wrote a book. And he said, when I was down, those who laughed at me that time, now they come back to me for help. And I refuse to help them. Say, yes, I don't forgive. It's an eye for an eye. And he was bragging on it. I said, you follow this man as a Christian, you're dead meat. And many people write books. The one I quote all the time for you is How to Be Rich by Paul Getty. He summarized everything like this. How do I become rich? Rise up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. Something that was directly commanded in the scripture that you must not do. Psalm 127 says, it is vain for a man to rise early. So when God said to Adam, you will sweat to eat bread. Those men sweated and they ate bread. But like I've said to you again and again, in life you have a measure of life. And spiritually, life is a currency. Life is the currency. So, Tetona, he railed against God. Any man who rails against God is operating under a curse constantly. I don't care how much money he has. He's operating under a curse constantly. The man railed, I don't know how he is right now, but then all he used to do is rail against God. He said he wants to go to hell. That hell is a nice place to go. That they will be able to repair hell. That heaven is too perfect. That they should go to hell. You know when people just want to make mockery, you don't take them serious. There are things you don't respond to as a Christian. A man say he wants to go to hell. Pray for him to get there faster. And just leave it there. When he gets there, let him call you. There was a man like that in the Bible. He said, I didn't go to hell. When he got there, Father Abraham, I beg now. When he gets there, he will shout, Pastor Banky, I beg. I said, oh boy, close that door. I won't sleep. The man railed against God and made billions. That's what I'm going to. He railed against God and made billions. And it was said, now, because I read it some time ago, I quoted it here before, so my figures may be wrong now. But the only number of hours he used to sleep in a day, I think, was 5 or 6 hours. How many?
4 hours.
Was it 4 hours, I said? No, I think it was even more than that. Anyway, let's just say 6 hours, all right? Did I say sleep? 6 hours? No. I just used to work 18 hours. Okay, that's it. In a day. The rest 6 hours included the time he slept, bathed, socialized, ate. And I've been married at the time I heard it 4 or 5 times. He will marry after a while, the woman will leave because he was never a husband. How can a man work 18 hours and you say you are married to somebody? Cursed is the earth because of you. Paul Getty wrote the book, How to Be Rich, and said, get up early, go to bed late. Cursed is the earth because of you. His son said, money was a curse to our family. I said to you last time that as the head of a family, as a man over a home, you decide what enters and what does not enter. His son said, money was a curse to our family. What does that mean? All his prosperity brought a curse into a home. The blessing of God, they make rich. And they don't add sorrows with it. His own add plenty of sorrows. As an old man, he lived as a hermit. He was paranoid, afraid of bacteria, afraid of people. He was a certified lunatic by the time he died. Cursed is the earth because of you. And that kind of man wrote a book, and he wants to operate your life by it. Even if you make billions, you will have the same sorrows that he had. I'm trying to emphasize something. You know, I ended last week talking about that. That what Jesus came to do was this. And we're talking about that again. He said, he that has believed has ceased from his own works. Many of these principles taught outside there. They tell you, if you see a book on marriage written by a non-Christian, don't even read that one. What did I say? What did I say? Don't even read it. What do they know? In that area, they know nothing. Absolutely nothing. Anything they tell you is going to bring your life under a curse. That's what I'm trying to explain. I wish we would read more Bible and listen to more teachings on the Word of God. Listen to more books. Read more books in which the Word of God is being espoused. It's being exposed. It's being expounded. It's being shown to be the truth of life. Very important. You will find out that success is inside that Bible. Read R.G. Letourneau's book, Mover of Men and Mountains. The Bible has some God has some crazy principles that even me as a preacher, when I read them, I knew they were true. They were scriptural. I said, God, to be able to obey this, I have to pray. Angelo Tono said one day, he started a business with a Christian man, a member of his church. Now I told this is half of those who go to church are not believers. So a member of your church doesn't mean you are in business with a Christian. I don't, honestly. He thought the fellow was a believer. Then the business was not doing very well. Started complaining. That's because Lutuno hired his relatives. His wife's brother was working for them. His wife's uncle was working for them. His own cousin was working, that kind of thing. And Lutuno said, the reason why I did that is because business is often bad. And my relatives, they know when business is bad. So if I tell them I can't pay this month, there's no quarrel. That was his own principle. You know, a lot. You know, you have to balance things with the times, you know, in our country right now. I have relatives, eh? Anyway, the Lord is good. That's all I can tell you. Archbishop is also used to say, never hire whosoever you cannot fire. If they will call village meeting on your head, when you fire him, don't hire him. Anyway, let me not get distracted from there. Lotono said, when the man complained, he removed all his relatives in the business. They were into construction. You know, like you have Julius Berger, Strabag, stuff like that. They were small, a small company. So he removed all his relatives, removed them from that joint venture, and took them to another job he had somewhere else, and hired other people. In that business, they didn't do very well. Eventually, maybe they managed to break even or something, and the venture closed. And the man now came to him and said, listen to this. Because the other job where he sent his relatives to, that one did well. You know, they are contracts. So, you know, it goes like this, it goes like that. That one went to the right. You know, it went well into the blue. So they got a lot of money. So he said to Lotono that, listen, The other job you were doing, I heard that the thing did very well. Now listen to wickedness. Lieutenant said, we thank God. He said, well, actually, you and I had a joint venture going. Then you took our staff and carried them somewhere else. Lieutenant said, please, excuse me. You told me that we're not doing well here because these people are my relatives. So I removed them. I sent them somewhere else. Let me add my own words now. And they showed you that their presence was a blessing. But you said I should take them away. I took them somewhere else. And where they went, the job there did well. What are you talking about? The guy said, well, as far as he's concerned, together, they had a joint venture. The guy took their staff away and took to another business. Therefore, he's suing for half of the profit he made in the other job. Lieutenant said, no problem. I see you in court. He said, sue. I mean, think about it. Shouldn't you allow him to sue? Yes. Wouldn't you go to court too? I mean, it makes sense. Not only court. I'm going to come with all kinds of troublemakers on my side. In case it turns to open war, let's fight this thing out. Because this is satanic. They were members of the same church. I can't remember the details of how, whether I told the church leaders or not, but this is the point. One day he woke up in the morning. The Holy Spirit said, give him half of the money. I look at the shock on your faces. I like that. The Holy Spirit said, give him half of the money. Say, what are you talking about? Now, you know, there's a kind of thing that Holy Spirit will say. You say, Holy Spirit, please, I don't doubt you. I just need an ID card. That's all. Just flash me your ID. Because I want to know who's talking. And you have to submit it. We'll carry it to wherever to go and verify that this is not an angel of darkness appearing as an angel of light. Let me make a long story short. The Holy Spirit said, give him the money. As I was reading the book, I'm a Christian, amen? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
I'm a preacher. You don't need to say amen. You have come here today to listen to me. So I know you believe it. I was refusing. That is, I was reading a book about a story that happened decades ago. And then I was refusing. I'm not going to say me. I ain't giving nobody nothing. The Holy Spirit said, give him the money. Arjun literally, no, give him the money. 2 years after, that man was wiped out totally out of business. You know, I was listening to my Bible this morning. God said to Laban, when you meet Jacob, don't say anything to him, whether good or bad. And I was wondering, Lord, why did you say, don't say good or bad? Why didn't you just warn him, don't say anything bad? And you know what came to my mind? If Laban speaks good, it only carries evil. So God said, don't say good or bad. I'm coming to something there. It's not every morning that's a blessing. It's not everything that looks like a blessing that's a blessing. Some people were following, one young girl was following Paul and Co about, these are the servants of the living God who have come. So cast the demon out of the fellow. They gave this guy money. He took it. 2 years later, he was wiped out totally out of it. Wasn't like swing up, swing down. 2 years later, he was wiped out. That money to him was not a blessing. It was a curse. God has his way of paying. He said, vengeance is mine. Don't go to court. I'm telling some of the principles. In fact, this is a man I was mentioning earlier. Out of the deal. Donald Trump. He believes in suing and he does not negotiate. Everything, he has lawyers he pays constantly to just represent me in court. Any case, go to court. You can't follow him as a believer. Another book I read, I recommend it for you a lot of times, Business by the Book by Larry Bucket. Larry Bucket said one day, he does counseling for Christian businessmen. One day, a Christian businessman came to him and told him all the evil that one other brother had done to him. Was bad. He said, I'm going to sue him. Larry Bucket said, yes. You know, he asked Larry Bucket, what do you think? Larry Bucket said, listen, having heard everything, I think you should sue. And the man said, yes, you agree. He said, I agree with you totally. This kind of case, I think you should sue the man. That one was happy. Before he said, hey, wait, do you mind if I tell you what the Bible says? I've told you what I think. Let me quickly tell you what God thinks. He said, God said, don't worry. Let him have it. Don't sue. I'm like, what? Now, let me not spend more time on that. I want to explain something to you. That many of the books you read out there, they were written for people operating under this curse that God placed upon Adam. He said, from the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. So many of them are teaching us how to sweat as commanded by a curse. Many of the monies they tell you to spend in advertising, they are as commanded by a curse. Many of the connections they say you should make, they are as commanded by a curse. Many of the hiring methods they say you should use, they are as commanded by a curse. If you are a church, you cannot afford to run your ministry the way they say do it in an MBA class. Because most MBA classes are written by, that is the curriculum, by men who only understand how to operate under a curse.